We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's Warren, a healthy three. And he got it. TJ Warren, I gotta say, has been nothing short of magnificent. 53 points, a career high, his ninth three of the game, and that three there may have done it for the Sixers.
Oh, we're back, Marks and Reese. All I heard all Friday and Thursday and Friday, Ike, was Ben Simmons, elite defensive player of the year. Right, and then TJ Warren comes in on Ben Simmons, went 9 of 10, 5 of 5 from threes, 24 points with Ben Simmons guarding him. He was feeling it for sure. Mm-hmm. Feeling it for sure. We're back. Marks and Reese. What is up? Honestly, Ike, I saw a lot in this weekend's game, I guess it was Saturday now, Saturday night's game, than exactly what I've seen previously with the 76ers. Joel Embiid, who had a spectacular night scoring the ball, also is fighting with Shake Milton, yelling at Shake Milton, telling him he's going to smack him or something like that. And then Ben Simmons, again, doesn't take a three. So that's three straight games where he doesn't take a three-pointer. And except this game, he wasn't the elite defensive player that a lot of people talked about. All right, and then you have Brett Brown that's being Brett Brown or whatever. I don't see a lot to feel great about if you're a 76er fan at this point. I just don't.
Oh, I do. I do. Embiid played 34 minutes and probably could have played more. It's a game they probably shouldn't have lost. You can't give up 46 points in the fourth quarter. I thought they came out in the second half and, you know, TJ Warren missed like his first three or four shots in that second half. In that third quarter, Sixers really outscored Indiana in the third quarter. It was just the fourth quarter. And when you take Embiid to the bench, you're going to need somebody to keep it going. And that's where the Sixers sort of lost their way, is that they didn't get enough from the Al Horfords, the Alex Burks, Matisse Thybulle only gave you three. I mean, Furkan Korkmaz only gave you three. Like, Embiid gave you 41 and 21.
And Toby gave you 30.
Yeah, so it's not much. And Simmons gave you 19, 13, and 4. Like, and he played 38 minutes. I know everybody wants to look at his defense, and I get it. But in the NBA, good offense is going to beat good defense on any night. And Ben Simmons, in my opinion, should be afforded a chance to have a bad game without being ripped after he's been the best defensive player on the team all year long. But some of you out there couldn't wait, and so you saw an opportunity because they lost a game that you probably bet on, thanks to me and my FanDuel projections. Friday before I got out of here. I know I said Sixers minus 5.5. I didn't know they were going to lose that game. They looked good in the third quarter, but it's one game. It's one game. I'm not going to overreact to one game. And the reason I'm not going to overreact to one game is because I've watched this bubble restart for 5 days now. There's been some surprises. Everybody seems to be hot in this bubble. I mean, guys are getting hot. I mean, I'm talking about a hot hand as far as shooting. And he's getting points put up there by just about any and everybody in this bubble from a team standpoint. So I'm not going to go crazy. It was the first game Embiid played since the first exhibition game. He played 15 minutes in three exhibition games, and they're out there, and he's playing 34 minutes. I'm not overreacting to that. But here's what I'll say about Embiid and his false hustle leadership. That wasn't leadership. And anybody that try to qualify that as leadership, I don't know what to tell you. That was basically trying to call somebody out. He was chastising Shake Milton in front of everybody. Not at a timeout only. Oh, no, this had to go on during the game where he flung the ball at him in disgust, causing Shake Milton to lose the ball and get it stolen by T.J. McConnell. Another time he threw the ball inbounds to him and was still yelling at him to the point Shake Milton had to respond to him, and T.J. McConnell stole the ball from him. Yes, I know Shake Milton had an offensive foul on the other end. I know he committed a turnover. Here's why Embiid was in the wrong for that. Because you got a guy who's been thrust into a position he had no idea he was going to get thrust into, right? Being the starting point guard on this team and where to fit in at and get you guys the ball and be a scorer. When do I need to be a shooter? When do I need to be aggressive? Playing defense, like all this other stuff. And, dude, you're the best player on the team. Like, really, that's your job in your first game back after missing the last three exhibition games due to whatever it was, sore calf, whatever it was, is after one quarter, not even a full quarter, you're chastising your young point guard? Really? That's leadership in a game that you're really just knocking the rust off? This isn't the first playoff game. This isn't game one of the first round in the playoffs.
Or game five of a playoff series.
What? It's not even the playoffs is the point. Is the point that I'm making. It's the first game back in a restart. And you chose to handle that way. Like, come on, dude. You're in the wrong. Brett Brown has to tiptoe around you. Because if Brett Brown had any real control of that locker room or any real status in that locker room, he would have called you out for that and said that wasn't cool.
But instead, you know what he said?
It's good for morale. Is it something that, man, stop it.
Jack has it. Here it is.
You know, you don't go cheerleading stuff like that all the time. But, you know, if the conversation's got to be had, it's got to be had. And I actually think that stuff like that is far more healthy than anything. I don't know the full detail of it, but I think for the most part, it's healthy. And those two will move on quickly. They're good friends. It's just sometimes stuff like that happens in a family.
Yeah, I get all that. I didn't say it was the end of the world. I'm just telling you, this is just another example. This dude has not grown yet. He's not matured as a leader. Why are you attacking the fifth guy in your lineup? Why are you? I haven't seen you attack anybody. You've been here 4 years. I haven't seen you go after another player like that on your team in 4 years here. You haven't done that to anybody else. You know, you laugh and lollygag when you get into somebody who really want to swell up at you. You try to laugh it off. And then you'll go on Instagram and be tough then. Then you'll go on Instagram and be tough. But out there on the court when somebody is trying to come at your neck, it's more or less, oh, I'm just being Joel, having fun, doing what I do. Come on, dude. You tried to embarrass somebody that's the fifth Beatle. That's what you did. You told that man, I'll slap the you-know-what out of you. Right on the bench. I read your lips. I read his lips. Like, seriously, dude, what happened that was so egregious in a half a quarter of the first game back that caused you to react that way to Shake Milton? Really? Really?
Oh, by the way, Shake Milton went back at him. So it just shows you,
and he should have.
And like Spike said this earlier, I mean, if a true superstar does that to one of his teammates, a lot of times they just kind of go the other way and bite their lip, even if they want to say something back to it. Yeah. Shake Milton didn't even think twice about it.
Well, Shake Milton's a grown man, first and foremost. So Joel Embiid must have crossed the line in some way.
Clearly.
And here's the thing. He didn't yell at him once. He kept doing it. Then his body language changed. Like he was like disgusted with Shake Milton being out there on the court. You could see his body language change. Like, dude, you're the leader, dude. Just play. Pull him over to the side when y'all getting a timeout and tell him what you need to tell him. You got three more quarters to go to play. You need Shake Milton to be effective out there. Instead, you try to destroy him mentally and embarrass him. Like, come on, dude.
Oh, and he did.
Yeah, like, come on, dude. That's not leadership, dude. And I love Joel Embiid, but come on, man.
Maybe he watched the Last Dance and took it a little too seriously.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When did Jordan do that in a game?
Never.
That's the difference.
He just punches Steve Kerr in practice.
Listen, Jack, I've been in a lot of practices. A lot of stuff goes on in meetings and practices and everything else. It's a lot of stuff that happens. Shaq and Kobe didn't fight out there in a game. They fought in practice.
Right.
Like, practice is different than actually being out on a court in a game where it's being televised, where you know it's going to be shown and everything else. But see, he wasn't thinking of that. He wasn't thinking of that. He's acting like a petulant child.
Or maybe he was thinking about it, and that's what he wanted.
Well, I don't know. I don't think he's a mean-spirited guy. I think there was something there that rubbed him the wrong way, and he, instead of acting like a leader on the team and pulling Shake to the side during the first time out and getting it corrected then, he chose to pout like a child on the court.
Yep.
That's what he did. He chose to pout.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Kay in Virginia has an opinion on this. Kay, go ahead. How are you?
What's going on, fella?
What's up, Kay?
Yeah, for the first time, man, I know John, it seems like with Embiid, John rolls out of bed and just has some personal hatred with Embiid. Mm-hmm. But
this is part of it.
Ike, I'm shocked because earlier in the season you got on Josh Richardson for trying to be a leadership, but when B tries to be a leadership, when it comes to Embiid, I don't understand this thing with Embiid and the fan base. We talked about this a couple weeks ago about is the fan base fair. Mm-hmm. We've been here screaming and hollering about Embiid, who performed his behind off, mm-hmm. and we yelling and screaming about what Embiid is trying to be a leader. We don't know what he could have been the leader at the first time when he was playing hot garbage.
That's not his job, Kay, that's not his job. His job is to go out there and play. You're in the first quarter. It does matter. He ain't Tom Brady. What is MB one? What?
I
don't even know. I don't even remember Josh Richardson trying to be a leader. I barely remember Josh Richardson being here this year, other than when they played the Miami Heat, he had a good game.
Josh Richardson said something in the meeting about we got to do something about ourselves, and you didn't like the way he did it because he was trying to step up, and you were saying that's Embiid and Simmons' job.
But when did that happen? When did that happen?
Early in the season.
Like October, November?
I don't know exactly when, but that was early in the season. But we were talking about we got 8 days left. We got, 8 games to play, and he's trying to.
You know what a leader would do? A leader would stick up and would defend a young player like Shake Milton, not trying to make him look like a fool on the court. Kay, and that's what he did.
Come on, Kay.
What would y'all rather have? Would y'all rather have Elijah when you said y'all talking about MJ, or MJ just a hot meal out your hand and said you can't play it?
Kay, I just told you. First of all, quit trying to compare Joel Embiid to Michael Jordan. Because they're not even in the same stratosphere. Not even the same stratosphere. Embiid was crying in the arms of his girlfriend last year after losing in a series to the Toronto Raptors after his tummy was hurting in the most pivotal game of the series. Don't give me Embiid and Michael Jordan. And I like Joel Embiid. But Saturday, to me, was a prime example of a guy who still isn't comfortable being a leader. He's still trying to figure out how to be a leader, an effective leader. Just because you're the best player on a team doesn't make you a leader. You know what makes you a leader? The guy who comes in and first leads by example. He leads by example. And then he doesn't hold any punches no matter who it is on the team. He holds everybody accountable, starting with himself. That's a true leader. The very fact that Shake Milton, who comes off to me as a very humble guy, like, you hear him speak, he's soft-spoken. He isn't some guy who's strutting around like he's made it in the NBA and he thinks he's this or he thinks he's that. He's a guy who realizes he's fortunate to be in the NBA right now and be in the position that he's in. So I look at what Joel Embiid did was took advantage of somebody who he thought wouldn't come back at his neck. That's what I view that as Saturday, because I haven't seen him go at Ben Simmons like that. Why didn't he go at Ben Simmons when Ben Simmons was getting his ass cooked Saturday?
Ike, it's such a great point. Because
why didn't he go at Ben Simmons when Ben Simmons was getting cooked Saturday?
Who does he like to pick on other teams?
Oh, the guy who he thinks can't play.
Right.
Yes.
And the guy that he feels like he can clown, Andre Drummond.
Yes.
Does he ever try to clown a guy that's going to stick up to going to step up to him? Is not going to take it? No.
No. So nope. you pick Shake Milton out. And tell him you're going to slap him. I mean, really? Come on, dog. Come on, man. People think I got something against Embiid. I don't have any. I love Joel Embiid. I'm talking about specifically that interaction with he and Shake Milton. I don't care. He was out of line, in my opinion. He was out of line, in my opinion. Because I've never seen him go at anybody else that way.
No.
Yeah, why you don't go at Ben Simmons like that?
You know what he says about Ben Simmons? He'll after games or during practice, he'll say like, "Well, you know, we gotta take shots from the outside," or like he won't even say Ben needs to start shooting from the outside. Yeah. He'll kind of beat around the bush and talking about it, right?
I mean, he flung the ball at Shake Milton when he was taking it out in disgust, and said something to him to where Shake had to look back at him like, "Hold on, who you talking to?" That's like somebody call you a name or something. Like your initial reaction, your initial reaction is to react to what you hear. Like, I know he just didn't say that to me, and then you
TJ steals it from him,
and then exactly, and then he just keeps it going when he goes to the sideline. Like, come on, man.
Malik in Philly, Malik, go ahead. Malik,
turn your radio off.
Turn your radio off for a second. Let's go to Pat and Drescher. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, Ike's spot on. He did the exact opposite of what he should have done. He should have put his arm around him and said, "Look, guy, we got three more quarters. We need you to play well. We're behind you." But this is really emblematic of Brett Brown not being able to take that approach with Embiid. He coddles Embiid and doesn't have any accountability, and now you're seeing it on the floor with other players.
Yep.
Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's try Malik
again. And then Brett Brown. Are you serious? I don't really know what that was all about, but they're working. Brett, stop it.
Well, I mean, it's just but that's what Brett's going to do every
it's
time.
It's been replayed on TV everywhere. You should want to know what it's about.
Yep.
I understand in the middle of the game you may not know what it's about, but man, you should talk to your players after the game to make sure everything is straight and what was that about.
But
go to Embiid.
But to your point, if it happens even on the bench where after they sit down they have some words, it's not broadcast on TV. The fact that he did it during the game and they did it on the way back to the bench, now just go on Twitter and look for it. Look up at ESPN and look for it. That becomes the story, right? That's the problem. Joel Embiid continues to make stories out of things that don't happen during the game. Like he hit an unbelievable offensive game. He had 21 rebounds, right? And this is what we're talking about because it's about more than just what he can do offensively and defensively and with rebounds. This is his team.
Yeah. No, he was wonderful Saturday. That's the only critique I have of him, is that instance with Shake Milton. I thought Embiid was wonderful Saturday.
Mm. What about Ben?
Ben gave you 19 and 13 and 4.
I know, but he hasn't taken a three-point shot in three games.
Yeah, that's not my hang-up.
He's supposed to be
everyone's gotten
threes.
Used to that. We got used.
Yeah,
to that.
That's not my hang-up.
It's like believing in Velasquez. I mean,
I know, but everybody told me Spike's saying he's going to take threes every game. Everybody's talking about a three-point Ben Simmons. He's the exact same player that he was before. What's the mentality? What's the mindset of him not shooting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is he just he knows it's broadcast on TV, so he won't shoot it because he's afraid of failing on TV?
I mean, his defense was a bigger issue Saturday than him shooting.
Big time. Let's go to Malik in Philly. Malik, go ahead.
Yeah, man. Let me say this. Both of you guys are overreacting. Over one game. I also believe, Ike, I can hear the vitriol in your voice. You might not hear yourself, but I hear you clowning clear over the radio. You saying you don't got nothing against him, B, but then you calling him a punk.
Nope. Never use the word punk.
Other players.
Well, is that not true, Malik? Is that true?
1 minute. When he come on social media, you never seen him get in somebody else's. I never personally seen Joel Embiid back down to no players. And actually, that's the kind of attitude I like to see from Joel Embiid when he play. Because when he don't play like that, he don't play at his best. So, Shake Milton, a G-leaguer, who Brett Brown put in the starting lineup, what he shouldn't have done. You need an experienced point guard there.
Mm-hmm.
He was emotional. I mean, players can get a little emotional. Should he have done it? In retrospect, anything you look at and you say a person should have done it because of the cameras or whatever, happens in football all the time. I know this is not football, but it's no big deal. I think you guys making a big deal of it. Maybe y'all need a story or something to talk about.
Oh, we need a story. So let me ask you this. If Greg Ward drops a pass in the first quarter of the first game and Carson Wentz is seen on the sideline berating him, you think I'm going to come in here and say how great of a leader Carson Wentz was?
Leadership?
Yeah.
I mean,
what?
You know, one minute a person is criticized.
Okay. No, context matters, Malik. Context matters. First of all, I could see if it was later in the game or if it was a veteran player who you have higher expectations for. The fact that you called him a G-leaguer even makes it look even more like bullying. I didn't call him a punk, Malik. Now I'm going to call him a bully because that's what it looked like he was doing to me Saturday. Bullying a guy he thought wasn't going to say anything to him because the guy is lucky to be in the NBA. So that's what I'll call it. I didn't call him a punk. I just said that I don't see him going at anybody else's neck like that. That's all I said. He got so aggressive with Shake Milton and told him he would slap the you-know-what out of him. Go back and read his lips.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and read his lips. I'm just telling you what I saw.
Yeah, it's a great comparison to Carson.
Yeah. Now, imagine Carson Wentz berating Greg Ward on the sideline or some rookie wide receiver on the sideline.
Plenty of opportunities to do that last
year. Ortega Whiteside.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that. Imagine how people would react in this town if he did that.
Oh, he'd be a bully.
Yeah, because he's doing it to somebody with you got lower expectations for. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yeah, because the first thing I would say is, hold on. Did you go at Alshon's neck like that? But then don't go at Greg Ward's mm-hmm. neck then.
Yep.
That would be the first thing I would say.
215-592.
Like, did you go with such and such neck like that when people were talking about you? Like, well, then don't go at Greg Ward like that, or don't go at J.J. Ortega-Whiteside like that.
I think he was mad because his buddy T.J. was cooking him.
I mean,
how about that?
I mean, Embiid, I could definitely see Embiid being upset that his friend is embarrassing him.
T.J. Ward, yeah. I mean, T.J.
McConnell,
yes. It was like three TJs in there.
They do have three TJs, yeah. TJ Leaf.
Yeah, it's like, man, TJs.
Just imagine this. Like you're picking on Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid told the home crowd this year to shut the bleep up.
Yeah.
And he got away with it very easily. Yeah. Imagine Carson Wentz take his helmet off after he's getting booed walking off of after a three and out and going, shut the bleep up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the reaction?
And Malik, people who listen to this show enough, they know I've defended Embiid a million times.
I'm the Embiid here.
Yeah, I'm an Embiid fan. But that, to me, was over the top him Saturday.
This is why. It never ends with him. And it just never ends. It's incident after incident after incident. There's no denying the talent. He's a special player. Look at the freaking game that he actually played. But then he seems to just stick his foot in it every so often with stuff like this, and it takes your eye off what he really is.
Yeah.
It also hurts the team.
And by the way, I'm consistent. Was I happy when Jake Arrieta went out to Scott Kingery?
No.
Okay.
215-592-9494.
Nothing else.
And back in 2004, you weren't happy when T.O. went at McNabb.
What are you talking about?
Talk about consistency.
Yep, and he told T.O. that just 2 weeks ago.
Donovan here.
Coming up, more Embiid Shake. Duggar Carson.
Be in a serious moment here, man.
And, sometimes needs some levity.
And Ike, we're going to have to start talking about the hottest team in the city at some point.
Oh, the Flyers.
The Flyers, huge win over the Bruins.
Oh, nice game yesterday, man.
Woo!
Good puck movement.
Oh, man, the defensemen were definitely carrying the puck out of the zone, Jack. Markson Reese on 94 WIP back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.